This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hunger and climate change were front and center at congressional hearings this week as farmers and food bank officials took on key challenges facing U.S. agriculture amid the historic pandemic. When the chips were down during the height of the pandemic, American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall told the House Ag Committee the nation's farmers lifted the hungry up.
Farmers across the country took it into their own hands to address hunger. Our county and state farm bureaus worked with churches and community centers to help meet the need. Our network of state and county farm bureaus across the country donated $5.4 million, 1.4 million pounds of food, and 20,000 gallons of milk to local food banks and food pantries.
But as demand skyrocketed, AFBF and Feeding America sought help from the USDA, which stood up the Farmers to Families Food Box program that delivered more than 140 million food boxes last year. And the need is still growing in rural areas.
Food insecurity has crept into the rural communities, into our schools, and into our neighborhoods. To further address this need, benefits under the USDA Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program have increased more than $7 billion per month.
Duvall credited lawmakers for extending enhanced SNAP benefits in the latest virus relief bill, while food bank officials urged more federal help for SNAP, TFAP, WIC, and other anti-hunger efforts. Across the Hill at Senate Ag Committee, it was all about climate change. Arizona Farm Bureau Chief Stephanie Smallhouse for the Farm Bureau.
Any policy that addresses proactive measures to influence climate conditions cannot be one size fits all. Every farm and ranch is unique, and policy considerations must be able to encompass the distinctive needs of everything from corn and soybeans to leafy greens and public lands grazing.
And John Reifsteck, chair of GrowMart Cooperative in Bloomington, Illinois, and a local grain farmer whose fields have shown in extensive studies huge carbon capture through soil conservation.
Just a few years ago, climate change was not an issue that farmers talked about among themselves at meetings or in the coffee shop. Today, it is.
But Reifsteck says producers need to see the hard data and how they can reduce carbon. Farm Bureau's Smallhouse says U.S. growers through voluntary conservation have already offset more than 10% of U.S. emissions, while farming globally accounts for 24% of carbon pollution. In other national ag news, World Pork Expo will be back on the schedule this year following a two-year hiatus. The 2021 World Pork Expo will occur at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, June 9th through 11th. NPPC President Jen Sorensen says, "We look forward to connecting with our fellow producers, business partners, and others who contribute to the nation's essential pork production system." World Pork Expo 2019 was canceled out of an abundance of caution as the African swine fever spread at the time in foreign nations. The coronavirus pandemic forced cancellation of the event last year. NPPC will continue to monitor developments in COVID-19 guidelines for the World Pork Expo to ensure the health and safety of all participants. Sorensen says a safe environment and a safe event is our number one priority, adding we will implement any appropriate precautionary measures to ensure a great experience. Registration information will soon be available online for those who plan to attend the 2021 World Pork Expo. And a recent run of warmer-than-normal weather here in rural America likely has farmers itching to get into the field and get some work done, but they aren't the only ones. Gardeners also are chomping at the bit to get out and get to work. Nancy Kreef is an extension educator in horticulture with the University of Illinois. She says we probably aren't quite ready to go just yet.
Oh, I say we still have a 2 to 3 weeks. It really depends where you're at. So what you'll want to do is look for your local frost-free date. And so you can look at the National Weather Service or your local weather service to determine when they're predicting the last frost. And so for our cool season crop varieties, things like lettuce and root crops, you could plant those 4 to 6 weeks before that frost-free date.
She says the early season garden crops can be put in the ground as soon as you can work the soil.
Exactly. The hardiest of all crops are going to be your broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, kale, kohlrabi, leek, onion, pea, rutabaga, spinach and turnip. So as soon as you could get out there and work the soil, then those could be planted. They're really tough plants.
It's worth waiting at least a couple weeks after the predicted frost-free date to make sure the less than hardy garden crops won't get caught by a surprise frost.
I mean, you always want to give yourself a little bit of wiggle room in case there happens to be a late frost. So we're predicting there's not going to be a frost, but you never know with the weather. So usually I might give it another week or so to plant the warm season stuff like tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers. They're not going to tolerate any kind of frost. They're very tender. And so you wait until things look good in the clear. And after waiting a week or two after that is not going to hurt because you'll still have plenty of time in the growing season to get a good crop.
Creeth says a category of garden produce she calls half-hardy crops can get planted more than one time in a year.
So those are the vegetables that are going to fall between the hardy and your tender vegetables. So half-hardy vegetable list includes a lot of your root crops, beets, carrots, potato, and then you could get in cauliflower, Chinese cabbage, leaf lettuce, mustard greens, parsnip, Swiss chard, and also another root crop would be radish. And so those you could plant 2 to 3 weeks before that frost-free date in your area.
Half-hardy crops like carrots, lettuce, beets, and cauliflower can typically be planted between late March and early May, and many of them can be planted again from mid-July to early September. Again, Nancy Creeth is with the University of Illinois Extension Service. In other related ag news, this time on row crops, farmers have until Monday to make their crop insurance decision. It's been several years since the spring crop insurance price have been this high. The average price of December corn futures in February was $4.58 a bushel, and it was $11.87 for November new crop beans. Those are the starting prices for crop insurance, and they're good ones, according to University of Minnesota's Ed Usit.
Well, first of all, it's wonderful. The crop insurance levels are very high. That's a great thing to start with. And you got to have crop insurance. You got to have that. And then I'm telling producers, I'm just noting this tendency for the market to go lower. If we can assume a normal year, if we can assume some sort of a non-drought year, just a normal year in the Corn Belt, we're going to go lower by harvest.
Work from the University of Illinois agrees with that assessment, and it has Gary Schnittke advising farmers to take the highest RP policies they're comfortable with and to use ECO2 if they're willing to pay the premium. So for highly productive soils, 80 or 85% RP plus ECO to 90%, because he says it's worth it.
First off, I would say it's probably worth it because you're going to be protecting a higher revenue level. So if at all possible, think about that. But many farmers sort of have a budget in mind. If you want to keep in that $12 to $18 area, you're going to have to drop down from 85% to 80% or roughly 5%. And that's probably the case. If you did 80% last year, you're going to have to drop down to 75% to keep your premium about the same. Again, the good thing about dropping from 85 to 80 is you're probably still going to have a higher guarantee this year than last year at 80% versus 85% last year because of the higher prices.
Farmers on less productive soils, say those in parts of southern Illinois or in the far western Corn Belt, may have tougher decisions to make as it is related to ECO, even if they're still inclined to stay the course on the RP policies. At least that's how Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University sees it.
Is it an option? Yes. Is it costly? Yeah. So we need to balance the marginal cost, marginal benefit of going to those higher coverage levels, I guess, is maybe the most judicious thing I can say.
For those wanting to see how different coverage levels and options might work on their farm, the U of I has a downloadable crop insurance decision tool. It is an Excel spreadsheet. Just type crop insurance decision tool into Google. It should be the first thing to pop up from the FarmDoc website. And moving on now into local ag news for your Friday. The Highland FFA chapter, along with Green for Life, will have a used oil drive tomorrow morning. It'll be held at the Highland Middle School parking lot tomorrow morning from 8 until noon. The Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Farmers will be holding their annual tire drive tomorrow morning at Carlinville Truck Equipment from 8 until noon. Cost to recycle your tires is $1 per tire. They'll be accepting passenger and light-duty tires of 13 to 20 inches only, and there's a limit of 20 tires a person. Tires must be off their rim and be free of mud and other debris. Tires will not be accepted if they do not meet those conditions. Again, that's the Macoupin County Farm Bureau Young Farmers Tire Drive tomorrow morning from 8 until noon, or until both trailers are full, and it will be held at the Carlinville Truck Equipment on University Street in Carlinville. Also, don't forget the Macoupin County Ag Education Foundation is offering scholarships for the 2021-2022 school year. Applicants must be a graduating high school senior or a current college student who plans to attend or is currently attending an Illinois junior college, university, or career technical education program and majoring in agriculture. Applications are made available through a high school guidance counselor in Macoupin County, a high school ag instructor, or from the Macoupin County Farm Bureau directly. An electronic copy can be requested by email at mcfb@frontiernet.net or by phone at 854-2571. All scholarship applications must be submitted to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau by Friday, March 26th. And coming up on Saturday, the 27th, Montgomery County Farm Bureau will be holding a household hazardous waste collection. That'll be held at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds in Butler from 8 until 3 on Saturday, the 27th. Acceptable wastes include oil-based paint, aerosol paint and cleaning products, insecticides, herbicides, pesticides, mercury, old gasoline, antifreeze, used motor oil, fluorescent light bulbs, old and expired medications, and household batteries. Latex paints are not considered hazardous, but they will not be accepted at this event. Latex paint can be safely dried and discarded with your regular trash. For any questions on this upcoming household hazardous waste collection, contact the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Hillsboro at 532-6171. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Friday morning, but remember you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Friday morning, March 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.